Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man. We've got our general manager, Terry Fontenot, is going to join us in about an hour from now. And Mike and I will get a chance to debrief. We'll hopefully get some information when it comes to this upcoming offseason, which I have said all along, Mike, the biggest offseason in Atlanta Falcon history because of the changes. For many, many years, we did not think that our owner would move on from our general manager. We didn't know at what point, you know, how much grace he would continue to have with our head coach. That didn't continue. And so now we have a new regime and new thinking, new set of eyes, new everything. And Terry Fontenot is in charge of all of that, including Arthur Smith, our head coach. So we're going to talk to him in about an hour. What's going on, man? How's your day going?
Another day in paradise. Today was like the first day you had a feeling that just maybe this miserable cold kind of winter is over. And our groundhog, General Beauregard, might have been right because it was beautiful again today. Sunny skies. And I was the world's fattest pool boy today, Carl. I actually had the shirt off, giving the neighbors a thrill.
Sun's out, man. Sun's out, guns out, baby.
Sun's out, guns out. And Joey is out. I call the belly the Joey. My father has said that. It was like a kangaroo pouch. But anyway, yeah. So definitely going to have to shed that COVID-19 that I put on. But yeah, man, just a beautiful day. It's one of those days that makes you feel like this is why you live in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's coming. No doubt. And I literally say, like, and maybe we get some rain this week again, and I know it's going to happen. But a couple of weeks from now, weather's going to be perfect, and it'll be that way for a few months, and then it's going to get hot. But even hot doesn't last a long time here. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, we got plenty to get to today. Not only are we going to talk to Terry Fontenot, we're going to talk to Darren Eales. Mike, it's been a while since we talked to Darren, but rightfully so. I mean, things were kind of in limbo. We didn't know what was going to happen with MLS. They obviously have come to an agreement, which means Atlanta United is going to play, man.
Yeah, I'm stoked. I'm one of those guys. I just cannot wait. I know that, you know, it's funny. This last year, it's like it. Not only were we turning to soccer for like a release, we didn't get it. We got nothing but aggravation from United. Darren, we've talked to Darren about it. It was a really, really tough year to watch. Frustrating. I love the moves. You and I are always about, let's get more South American. And we did. So
yeah, we really did.
An Argentine coach, more players in that neck of the woods, which, again, not that it has to be the Tata way, but the guy that brought us a championship and that sort of style, or at least the philosophy or the culture, is what I wanted it to be. So I'm excited talking to Darren about all the moves from the coach to the players. Now we finally found the guy that can do what Nagby did, which we couldn't do last year. Sure. Darren will join us right after we talk to Terry Fontenot about 3:20. We'll talk to Darren Eales.
All right, man. With that said, I got to ask this question, and we'd love to get your take on it as well. As we always say, you can follow us across all social media platforms. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929, and this radio station, 929 The Game. We're on the gram. We do it for the gram at Dukes and Bell. And, of course, on Twitch Live, where many of you join us each and every day. ATL, 929 The Game. This is obviously an unusual offseason. Last season was unusual. But going into a draft where we currently have the number 4 pick, don't know if we stay there or not. Don't know if we, you know, make moves to acquire more picks. But this is the reality for our Falcons. And that is, evaluating the talent you're interested in is as hard as it's ever been this year. And it's as hard because there is no combine. Mm-hmm. There is no one place where you can go gather all this information about these potential guys, come back to your headquarters at Flyer Branch, Mike, sit down, chop it up with all your people and go, that's our guy. This year, they're relying on virtual calls. They're relying on, you know, study of film from last year for guys that opted out that maybe you're interested in that didn't play this last season. You're also relying on maybe what coaches and other folks are telling you because you just don't have those face-to-face meetings. So how difficult is it going to be to evaluate these guys and truly have a feel for them when you want to pick them?
Right. And I know that it's funny. Bruce Arians last week said, look, you know, the combine is good, but then on the flip side, you might get tunnel vision, fall in love with a guy that, you know, because you didn't see him at East West Southwestern State or whatever. But tape doesn't lie. You still got the tape. I just think it's kind of cool for the fans, though, because, you know, guys can be all world, and especially those name brand guys on name brand schools, but then you find out that they really aren't a 4-3 guy or even a 4-5 guy, you know, and then it's, I don't know. Maybe I'm nerdish and wonkish with that stuff, but when I've got specific needs on my team, I'm not going to watch all weekend of the combine, but I'm definitely going to pay attention because NFL's, you know, network's got on an endless loop. You know, I want to watch those areas that we need, which would be corners, you know, interior linemen, you know, outside linebackers. Well, hell, we need a little bit of everything. But anyway, yeah, Carl, it is kind of difficult. This is where, again, how does a team which just put its apparatus, if you will, together? And we'll ask Terry Fontenot about that, you know, with the scouting department guys who were holdovers, guys you brought in, and how do you evaluate the talent, as you said, without a combine?
I think, you know, being informed, right, helps you decide who you want to hire. Think about your job and how it may have gone. Now, things have certainly changed with Zoom. Maybe some of you got hired over Zoom, which is completely different than how maybe you got hired 5 or 10 years ago. But for most people, you had an in-person meeting. You had a sit-down with the people that you were going to be working with. And it really gave you a feel. No matter what the resume was, okay, it gave you a feel for that individual. All these guys that are in the draft, their resumes say that they're ready to be NFL players. But which ones are the special ones? Which ones are the unique guys? Which ones are you willing to take a chance on? And so informed decision-making comes from information. And that's the part that's lacking this year. I don't know how much, okay, for every team, because, again, everybody's doing the same things. But, Mike, when you have the 4th overall pick, don't you want the most information, especially when we're talking about these quarterbacks? Mike Bell, I'm seeing stuff about Justin Fields I didn't ever think I'd see about Justin Fields. And here he goes. He continues to fall on the board when we talk right about how people are evaluating him. And I'm going, again, what am I missing about this?
Well, you and I, as we said, we knew Deshaun Watson. You know, you knew him from, like, when he was in high school at Gainesville. You know, through Clemson, we saw this kid playing the biggest games. So we said, that's a guy you got to take. You know, Baker Mayfield, other than, you know, just coming up short against Georgia, this guy played in big games every year and won almost all of them. And that's why we said you take him number one. Now, again, Cleveland, a little bit slower finally getting to the playoffs, and Deshaun Watson now ready to get out of H-Town, but he got him to the playoffs. But, you know, why would you ever take Deshaun Watson? Why would you ever take Mitchell Trubisky over Deshaun Watson? This is why, for all the things we just talked about, it is not an exact science. If it was an exact science, general managers would never get fired, okay? Coaches wouldn't get fired. These guys blow it, especially even in the first round, Carl. It's basically a coin flip like the last 10 years, if you go back and look at it. So they fall in love with the cannon for an arm, and Trubisky had all the measurables. You and I are like, what big games did Mitchell Trubisky ever play in?
He didn't!
You know what I mean? A small sample size, you know. By the way, also, are you mentally tough enough to handle Chicago? You know, whereas Deshaun Watson played in big games, won it all. So, I mean, this is the stuff. So, again, Justin Fields, all the game now is going to get picked apart. Mechanical, one read, very deliberate. All that stuff now, you're going to hear it. And that's good. That's fine. Because then maybe we can even move down and still get the guy. And that's fine by me. And I can pick up some extra second and third rounders. I'm okay with it.
I'm sold, by the way. Call me biased. Okay, I'm raising my hand on Zoom. I'm sold on Justin Fields. Okay? Now, again, I am close to the family. I do know maybe a little bit more about him than maybe most. But even with that said, I think he proved what he needed to prove in college, and I think he's going to translate that to the NFL. Does it mean, Mike, and this is the thing Mike's talking about, doesn't mean that any of these guys are going to win 6 Super Bowls or 7, Brady, okay? It doesn't. But do they have the skill sets to put your team in a position to be successful every year, to be, potentially be in the playoffs, and to do the things you need to do? For me, Justin Fields does, and I use that as an example because, again, information is power, and you put out all this stuff, you're not able to sit down, in, you know, this year, with a lot of the kids that you're talking about potentially drafting. And then that's how mistakes are made. Mike, that whole thing, that psychological analysis they do at the combine, every year teams learn so much about these kids. because it's one thing to say, yeah, you can throw, you can run, you run fast, okay. Mm-hmm. But when you come in and you sit down and then you go, tell me about your mom and what happened, and you start talking to them, that's when you get a real feel for what kind of people they are, and to mm-hmm. your point, whether they can handle the pressure or not. Now, Chicago blew that with Trubisky. They made a mistake. But those things, I'm telling you, this draft has the ability to be one of those drafts where we look back in 3 or 4 years and go, woo, man, they blew it. And a lot of that's going to have to do with they're just rolling the dice on these guys because they don't have all the information I don't think they'll have.
Right. That's
now,
it.
Another misguided prediction from Nostradamus.
No, man, we are, like I said, I like the idea of Fields, but I mean, again, that would be, you want to talk about my mock draft. Guys are mocking me. Somebody did a picture of me like the mockers. You know, like, welcome, meet the mockers instead of meet the Fockers. And they had my picture on it today. Look, I love the idea. If we could trade down to like 6 or 7 and still get Justin Fields or even farther and
done.
Yeah, buddy. Then you can address everything, guys. You can get the corners you need. You can get the linemen to help beef up this run game. There's a lot of things you could do and still get your quarterback in the future who doesn't have to start. Honestly, Carl, I don't know. I'd be hard pressed to find a more perfect way the draft could play out.
What do you guys think? 404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Find us on social media as well. And with us having a new general manager, by the way, and Terry Fontenot is going to join us at 3 o'clock, I think this is a big challenge. Now, he's got people in the building, and we'll ask him about this, you know, all this salary cap stuff. How the hell are we going to get under the cap? I mean, we're still, what, Mike, 23? Is it 25 million?
I think we're
above?
Still about 20 mil, according to our man, D. Orlando. Thanks, Mike and Carl. But according to D, because
hey,
again,
D.
You know, we shaved some cap off, but we've also, you know, we also have some dead money there. So there's still more moves. And again, look, by the way, and we'll put it out there, guys. We're going to ask as many penetrating questions as possible. But it's not like Terry Fontenot is going to give us all the secret sauce, but we will do our best to find out some of the big picture stuff as far as what he thinks the strengths are, what the biggest weaknesses are. And through that, we can hopefully decipher what the plan is. How's that sound?
No, it's true. I mean, and I respect personally. As much as, like, I'd love for him to come on and be like, Justin Fields is our guy. I mean, you know, book it.
No, again, no, that's Billy Knight. That's Billy Knight.
I would love that from a show standpoint, but I got to respect our general manager. And here's the other part. I don't want the Saints and the Bucks and the mm-hmm. Carolina Panthers to know what we're doing. I don't want them to know. Mm-hmm. I don't. So I don't expect him to say exactly where we're going. But there are some things, to Mike's point, in between the cracks that we'll be able to decipher. So that's going to happen at 3 o'clock. Information, man. We just don't have as much with all the stuff that's been going on. And, yeah, you can go to pro days. You're not going to go to all the pro days. See, that's the other part of this. And then you're sending guys, Mike, and now you're trusting your staff to say, that coach, that's the one. Mm-hmm. GM, that's the one. Okay. All right, man. We got plenty more to get to. We're going to talk about the Hawks back in action tonight as well. Hey, spring training, man. Guys reporting today. I saw some of those pictures. It looked good to see Freddie Freeman back down there and all the guys. We're going to get into that and a lot more. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com. It is Dukes and Bell. Terry Fontenot, Falcons GM, is going to join us here at 3 o'clock. Great stuff coming in from a lot of our listeners in regards to this draft is just interesting on so many levels, but how are teams making, like our team, the really informed decisions? Ezekiel says, Dukes, anybody with good football sense knew Watson was going to be a good NFL quarterback. Tape didn't lie. Mm-hmm. What he did against the NFL-style defenses twice against Bama said it all. So true, Ezekiel. And Zeke goes on and says, but these GMs want to outthink the room, Mike. And that was an example, the one you gave with Trubisky and Deshaun Watson.
Right. And again, the thing, you and I, at least give us credit. We said we didn't get the Trubisky thing when it went down. We also didn't get the Jared Goff thing when it went down, to truth be told. And it was reinforced by how dopey he looked on HBO's Hard Knocks. But again, everybody's journey is different. Sometimes it's a guy who's, nowadays, O'Carl, you are a franchise quarterback. It's kind of preordained. You're either going to be first or second. Rarely do you see that guy like Russell Wilson, who was a third rounder, right, who then rises to the challenge. Right. You know, Matt Ryan was ordained a franchise quarterback, and you had to rebuild it right after the whole Mike Vick debacle here in Atlanta. You know, in Houston, they got the right guy with Deshaun Watson. Baker Mayfield, not everybody was sold. You and I thought it'd be the right guy. Now, you know, I'm not sure if I'd just hand over a giant contract to him just yet, but this is why the argument for many people, even if you are a Matt Ryan fan, you say, look, at some point we're going to move on from Matt Ryan, and we're never, unless we have a galactic failure this year, we are not never going to be this high in the draft again, so we've got to take advantage of it.
So it's something we're talking about today. And again, we'll talk with our general manager about it because these are some of the things that they're having to deal with. And then just some of the tough decisions. I mean, again, the decisions to get us under the cap are not over. I said this, Mike. I still think there's going to be maybe a name or two that we're going to go, ooh, because it's going to take significant salary to get us there. Again, you can cut a lot of the little small fat, but you got to cut some big fat at some point. And that's why the Ricardo Allen saving you $6 million. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. And then you go, all right, well, what else makes sense? There's a couple more guys that, you know, that could really be in danger of not being with this team. So we'll see where that goes. But again, he doesn't want to play his hand now because today, by the way, the franchise tag starts, at least the opening window for you to do that. And I'm looking at our team, Mike, and I'm going, we're not franchise tagging anybody.
No, not at all. And by the way, Falcons, you asked me earlier, I tried to channel my inner D-Led, but according to SpotRack, the salary cap website, we are $12 million now over. We were $23 million over. We're now down to $12,274,824, Carl. We are over right now.
Okay, so it's still a long way to go, man. Still a long way to go.
I mean, James Carpenter would help you get there. That would cut a little bit of fat, but there's not a lot of guys. I mean, I said Tyler Davison. I don't know. There's not a lot of wiggle room. That's why when you guys were saying, was it last week when I tried to give up booze for Lent and it lasted like about 3 days, when I was screaming at listeners about J.J. Watt and Vaughn Miller? This is why, guys. This is why. We can't do that.
All right. I want to be clear when I say this. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying that they should do it.
Yes.
But you brought up Jake Matthews a lot, Mike. Mm-hmm. You see what that number is for him?
Oh, it's huge. It's a huge number. And I've always said that Jake is solid but not spectacular. Some people say, well, you know, you get a left tackle and it works. You don't get away from it because mm-hmm. they're hard to find. Mm-hmm. But $20 million yes. cap hit. The dead yes. cap is 18. Are you going to eat it? That's the thing. Yeah, you really can't. You can't eat that dead cap money when you've got no wiggle room. And you still got to sign your draft class, I guess.
So here's the question, though, and this is where it gets interesting. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you did that, right? Well, you're not eating your quarterback. Right. You're not eating your wide receiver. Okay, that's Matt and Julio. We know that those guys. We're not doing that.
So a later designation to split the cap hit, mitigated over two seasons.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And by the way, again, I'm being clear. I'm not saying that's what they're going to do. But when you start looking at some of these hard decisions and you go, well, then who's going to play tackle? Well, this gets back to the draft. If you want to go, Penei Sewell, then there's your answer.
Mm-hmm.
There's your answer. So you all of a sudden go, all right, we're saving money there. We're drafting another tackle that can play maybe for the next decade. I'm just saying those are the kind of things that really have to be discussed. You can't just, like I said, you can't go in and go, well, here's a guy making, you know, $600,000. He's got to go.
Well, I mean, there's guys that you're going to walk away from. But again, James Carpenter and Tyler Davison account for
10. That'll be 10, right?
Actually, 6.4 and 4.6, and that would be $11 million right there.
Okay. So you still got 10 more million to go.
Oh, no. We know that would get us. We close. We have one more million. We're good. We're 12
anyways,
million, 12 million over.
It's those kind of decisions, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. Plenty more to get to. Terry Fontenot's on the way. Behind the glass, our man Chris today. And as we said, Darren Eales is going to join us at 3:20 to talk Atlanta United. It's been a minute since we've caught up with Darren, but it's that time of year, and we'll start doing those pretty much every other week. We got CONCACAF coming up, and then obviously we'll get into the season, but there are a lot of changes with our club, so we'll get the latest information from Darren Eales. Bo Morgan, executive producer. Chris, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, man. Hawks back in action tonight, Mike. Can we make it? Another one? Can we get another one tonight against the Cavaliers?
Yes, please. Cavs, I mean, this is one of those games where, again, I mentioned it yesterday, a couple of guys were talking about, you're getting on John Collins' jock now. I go, well, he had two bad games by his standards.
Step up, JC. You know,
when a guy's average is just under 20, and I did the math, and you add up to two games' performance, that equals 20, that would be under his average. So, yeah, let's hope that Trey continues to hit the button when he needs to go and also get the other guys involved. But, yeah, man, let's start to start feeling good about this team, and then eventually we'll start to get some of these guys back off the injured list, and eventually we'll get to DeAndre Hunter.
Trey's averaging 27 a game. It's around 7th or 8th in the league. Cavs are 8-9 in the Eastern Conference, but they have a 5-16 record against teams over 500. We are not one of those teams. We're 13-17 on the year, so they've struggled against the better teams. But, you know, listen, we're in no room to brag right now. We are 8-10 in conference games, so we're 6th in the league, Mike, with 11 offensive rebounds per game by Clint Capella. Here's Nate McMillan talking about what they can take from their last W.
You know, understanding time, score situation, getting stops when we needed to, making baskets, knocking down shots when they were making a run. So that's part of the game that, you know, a young team like this got to learn to, you know, as I've talked about the three C's, being calm, being clear about what you need to do, and being connected on both ends of the floor.
All right, Ming. We've talked about, you know, being
three
patient.
C's. Three C's.
What were those again?
three C's. Chris got to play that again. We got to have the three C's.
I didn't write it down. I was looking up some else. I was looking up to a Boogie Cousins, by the way. So a guy just hit us up on Twitch. Go, hey, man, Boogie Cousins.
You want Boogie?
I mean, he was making a salary. $2.3 million was guaranteed as a token of gratitude, according to the article I'm reading from ESPN. He's 30. I mean, hell, we've got everybody else. We might as well get Boogie Cousins along with Rondo and Bogdanovich and Gallinari. What the hell?
You know what? I like Boogie, but he was complaining. Wasn't he complaining about playing time? Is that why they
correct.
Let him go?
That's correct.
Okay, so how much playing time does he get with it? Right now he gets a lot, but how much right. with a healthy roster? I'd still rather have Bogdanovich.
And again, we got a good thing going, providing John Collins is doing his thing. And obviously Capella has been a fantastic addition to this team. But again, just like any other name that's out there, he tore his ACL 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It was a 2018 season. So, but anyway, bro, it's worth guys are asking, what about Boogie Cousins? I don't know. Talk to Schlenk. I don't think that'd be an immediate need for this team.
I've talked about the three C's, being calm, being clear about what you need to do, and being connected on both ends of the floor.
All right. One more time.
Calm.
One more time, Chris. Calm.
Clear.
I've talked about the three C's, being calm, being clear about what you need to do, and being connected on both ends
connected.
Of the floor.
Connected.
Calm, clear, and connected. Okay.
Three C's.
All right.
Yeah, that's Nate McMillan, guys. Hawks. Cavs tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 6:30 is the pregame, all right? So make sure right after Mike and I get done, 6:30 you'll get a chance to hear Mike Conte leading you up to the tip. A lot of folks around Major League Baseball talking about the fallout yesterday with Kevin Mather, who was the CEO of the Mariners. The Mariners are saying they're embarrassed by his comments. Mike, this is him at the Rotary Club meeting talking about one of their star prospects.
Julio Rodriguez has got a personality bigger than all of you combined. He is loud. His English is not tremendous, but him and Kelenic are very good friends. He's a year behind Kelenic. He will probably be here in, everybody says 2021. He won't be here till 2022 or 2023. A fantastic kid, really big on social media. He loves to get out in front. He loves the Mariners. Between him and Kelenic, we think we've got an outfield that will be as good as any in baseball.
So the meme that was viral was this kid who heard his comments, and then he goes on to talk about, you know, his English is not good, blah, blah, blah. He took the Michael Jordan meme and where Michael says, and I took that personally. And they put his face, they put this kid's face on the Jordan meme and underneath it said, and I took this personally. So it's pretty funny, but Kevin Mather, man, he terrible decision-making when it comes to things that he should not have been sharing publicly.
Yeah, I mean, I love transparency, but this is to a point where, wow, you kind of crossed over to a very dark space right now with some of the things that he brought up. I would just love to have seen the Bellevue, Washington Rotarians face at the Rotary Club as this was going down. They were all big, presumably Mariner fans going, I wonder if people were like going, is he supposed to be saying this? I don't know. But, I mean, you know, and for those who are younger guys out there, a legendary general manager and did a good job personnel-wise, brought up a number of the African-American players for the Dodgers, but unfortunately, his career is defined by, you know, 30 seconds on Nightline, Al Campanis, you know, where he started saying all sorts of things like, ay, ay, ay. Well, this is almost like the 2021 version of that.
Do you remember that? I mean, it was classic. For those who don't remember Ted Koppel, and Al Campanis basically goes on and just he rambles about, you know, colored players. It was unbelievable. At the time, it was unbelievable. Mike, when was that, late 80s, early 90s?
Well, they were asking him about managers. They were asking him about black men. I think the conversation started about black managers. I'm trying to find the exact year that Campanis. It's got to be late 80s.
Late 80s. It had to be, yeah. So
it was after Jimmy the Greek, but it was 88. It was 88. Okay. And Jimmy the Greek was like a year before that. But so, it was bad.
It really was. Hey, I'll tell you what's not bad is our club, and that's our guys today reporting to spring training, full squad. Brian Snicker talking about camp. Here's our manager.
camp has been really good and the way they've been went about it and just the drills and the consistency of what we're doing. And right now it's, like I say, I'm not going to speak, but it's, everybody looks really good.
That's our boy.
Yeah, it is, man. I saw, I think it was Ozuna going to camp. Maybe it was a picture of steel of him showing up. They say Freddie's going to be late to camp, but maybe it was Ozuna and it was a couple other guys that the Braves had photos of showing up because Freddie had the birth of his two sons. Mike talked about it yesterday. So, but it's good to see our guys, man, back at it. Mike, I'm excited about this Braves season. I am.
Me too. I mean, again, pitching hopefully will hold up. I mean, I know Ian and we're excited. Again, small sample size for guys like Ian Anderson and Wright and Bryce, but those guys are going to be leaned on. We know what we've got with Fried. Hopefully Soroka, as we said, at the latest by May 1st, maybe he is already good to go, and we don't know. But, yeah, this is a year with the additions, Smiley, Morton. It's not Dodger level, but we're going to bat with a lot more guys that are at least going to be able to get on the mound, unlike Cole Hamels last year when we really needed him.
All right, man. More to get to. Our producer, Bo Morgan, just hit us up with an L.A. County Sheriff's Department statement that has to do with one Tiger Woods. NFL Blitz is on the way. Terry Fontenot, GM of our Atlanta Falcons at 3 o'clock. But this is something that everybody's talking about right now. The L.A. County Sheriff's Department put a statement out. I'm just going to read it. It has to do with Tiger Woods. We don't know any further information, so we're not going to speculate. But this morning, they responded to a single vehicle rollover traffic collision on the border of Rolling Hills Estates and Rancho
Palos Verdes.
Yes. Yep. In what was that, Hollywood area, I guess?
No, South Bay, south of Torrance, like south of Redondo Beach. It's over by, like, if you're ever, like, in Los Angeles, you're looking south. If you go around the bend, you get down to, like, Long Beach. So it's, like, where the really nice golf courses are at Palos Verdes.
So he was there, obviously, this weekend for the Genesis tournament, which is why he was in Cali. But they say the vehicle was traveling northbound when it crashed, and the vehicle sustained major damage. The driver was identified as Tiger Woods. Woods was extracted from the wreck with the jaws of life by the Los Angeles County firefighters and paramedics, then transported to a local hospital by ambulance for his injuries. So that's the statement they've put out, Mike. They're continuing to investigate this accident. But I don't know if you watched this weekend. I know you did. Tiger did an interview with Jim Nance. And Nance talked about, you're going to be ready for the Masters, 7 weeks away. And he was like, there is no timetable right now. I'm healing. He just had another back surgery. But he was very optimistic. But it was one of those things where he can't be committal because he doesn't know how his body's going to respond. And Mike, I don't know if anybody, you know, I don't wish this on anybody. But if you've seen the jaws of life, it's terrifying to see somebody pulled from a vehicle when the vehicle is banged up like that. So, again, don't know the extent of the damage to Tiger, but that is the news that has got everybody talking right now.
Yeah, the only thing is they said in that sheriff's department brief, and I'm looking at the website at KNBC, they're saying, yeah, as you said, single car crash. So unless somebody, it's a hit and run or somebody split, then he, again, not going to speculate, but it's a one car accident according to the sheriff's department.
Does he still, and I'm saying this, like, I don't know if you know, does he have still have a house there? I know he's got a house in Florida, obviously.
I'm sure he's got places everywhere. But yeah, as you said, he was in a Riviera is north going towards, like, you know, Malibu, but he was on the other part of L.A. But yeah, he was in town doing a magazine shoot with Golf Digest, and apparently just sort of wrapped that up. So yeah, again, we don't know much just yet. But as you said, we've seen where, you know, the car gets compressed, and when you get to jaws of life, that's a pretty hairy wreck.
It is. So we'll keep you updated as soon as we know more information. We'll certainly let people know what's going on with Tiger. You know, again, we're selfish when we say, "Oh, I just hope he's ready to play." Who knows what the damage of his, you know, to his body, if any, you know, but if you're going to a hospital, obviously, and you're in this situation, there's probably more to it. All right. With that said, we'll keep you updated, guys. That is what we call a developing story. And I usually say it in my weird voice, but it's serious because, again, we don't know the extent of the damage with Tiger and how he feels and what all that, you know.
Chris
entails.
Just said in our ear that there is a picture of the wreck now that's out there. You see, Chris, you can jump on the air, man. Where are you seeing that? Wow, holy crap.
Our buddy Mike Conti just retweeted it. It looks like a single car. It almost looks like at the bottom of a hill, and that car is like in two or three different pieces, and the entire front end of the car is smashed to shreds. So it's not a good scene.
Okay. All right. And I'm just now looking at it. He's lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
He's lucky to be alive. That's incredible. Mike Conti, thank you. I had not seen that, but that's, again, from ABC 7 out there in Los Angeles. So we'll retweet that.
I got it. Mike Bell ATL if you want to check it out. But, yeah, the car is tore up. I mean, the entire front end is really torn off.
All right.
And you can see airbags deployed inside from the helicopter shot. You can see that the airbags went off. But, man, oh, man.
Yeah. So, again, when I saw Jaws of Life, you go, oh, again, because if you've ever had to experience that, I've not been involved with an accident like that, but I've been at the scene where something happens and you stop because you just want to make sure everybody's okay. And then you realize people are trapped and you got to wait it out until the firefighters get there. And then you see the Jaws of Life come out, and, you know, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. So you really know it's a serious deal. All right, guys, we'll keep you updated. That story is ongoing, but Tiger Woods, again, has been taken to a hospital after injuries in a single car accident today in California. Terry Fontenot's on the way in less than 15 minutes. Right now, let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Well, NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. We always talk about hometown discounts, right? I mean, like Grady, he's from here. His dad played for the Falcons. Everybody's like, oh, well, Grady wants to be here. Grady wasn't taking less than market value. Well, neither is KJ Wright, Mike. He says he will not take a hometown discount. And here is somebody that basically says, listen, you know, I would love this story to end the way it needs to, with me still being in a Seahawks jersey, but I'm not going to take less than what I'm worth.
So that's always, again, it's funny how the band starts to break up. You know, and didn't we say with Seattle that they had the Legion of Boom? They had that window when Russell was on that opening rookie contract. Remember, as a third round draft pick, and then as he got paid, and then everybody wanted their money, right? Give me my money, right? And so the linebacker core, the defensive backs, the whole thing kind of just went like kaput. And unfortunately, you know, that's the thing, man. The money does well become an issue for some teams. And KJ Wright, again, is apparently not going to be taking any kind of discount. Hey, you know, don't you feel, but this gets back to what we said with Matt and Julio and the money that was being paid. This is why we use the phrase windows, right?
Yes.
When everybody's kumbaya, that is your window.
Yeah, before everybody starts to realize whatever their market value is or whatever they think it is.
Only the Patriots cut bait on guys in their prime because they had the goat to make it work.
It is true. So KJ Wright, listen, I don't know if they decide to pay him whatever it is he thinks that he should be getting, but he's saying, I'm not taking less. And listen, it's funny because early in guys' careers, this is what always is interesting to me, Mike. When you're in your rookie deal right now, so, you know, for a lot of these guys, early in their careers, they're underpaid, even when they're overachieving. Once you're an established player, there's no reason for you to take a discount. There's no reason for you to take less than what you should get. I've never understood that.
Well, like I said, I mean, it's funny because I heard Randy and Andy at the end of the show, and one of the listeners was asking the question about would Randy have taken less late in his career to go get a ring, and Randy said, yeah. I mean, but again, that depends on everybody's situation is unique. Have you banked some money? Are you set? Is that an option for you, or are you still trying to make max dollars as you're taking care of your family? So, I mean, and everybody's got to look at that with their own individual situation. As fans are going, he better take a hometown disc. Yeah, I want you to take 20% less, okay? I want you to take 15, 10, 5% less, unless the boss is going to take your job away. Nobody's doing that.
No.
It's wishful thinking.
NFL's moving towards 17 regular season games, 3 preseason games. We've been talking about this for at least the last 4 years. We do think it's going to happen, but the Washington Post put out a report saying that expansion of the regular season is not yet certain. But it's certainly believed that the league will adjust to an annual 20-game slate from 16 regular season games and 4 preseason games to 17-3. So that is on
anything, the way. Anything that gets me less preseason, I'm fine with. Matter of fact, I mean, I'd be happy with 2 preseason games. That's preseason football is the worst. You know how we feel about this, the season ticket holders. Hey, man, we were talking a lot about Big Ben. Speaking of hometown discounts, Carl, Big Ben meeting with Art Rooney today, the second. Gary Dulek of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reporting. Steelers have said Roethlisberger will not be back on his current contract because they can't afford it. Mm-hmm. Roethlisberger said he's willing to take a pay cut to could make one last run with the Steelers, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to take a pay cut as steep as what the Steelers are going to ask him. But anyway, for what it's worth, he met with Art Rooney the second today, and maybe that's going to hopefully get them to hash it out. I'd like to see Big Ben have one last go. That's not the way you want to end your career, losing the Browns the way they did.
No, and that's why him and Ponce were on the bench crying. I mean, full-grown men realizing that might have been it. And right. For Ponce, it is. He's retired. Now we'll see what Big Ben does. We got plenty more to get to. Terry Fontenot is coming up, general manager of our Falcons. Again, if you're just joining us, Tiger Woods, single car accident in California. Jaws of life were used.
CNN is reporting injuries are moderate to critical, it's being described. Jeff Schultz just tweeted that.
All right, so we're keeping an eye out, guys. He is at the hospital as we speak. Again, single car accident out there in L.A. today. It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.